Good day, everyone. My name is Slade Wiley here on 580 WIBW, the Ag Issues Program. Today, I'm speaking with a representative from Taranis. We're going to be talking about drones and the technology and also the pilot program that they currently have. Do you mind introducing yourself for our audience, good sir?
Yeah, certainly, Slade. Thank you very much for having me. My name is John Carroll, and I'm the Director of Operations for Taranis Incorporated here in Westfield, Indiana.
It's great to meet you, first off. I'm very excited to talk about this, drones and technology. I just got done talking with John Deere about a week ago or so about their new automated tractors that they're rolling out with, and it's really fascinating, the technology that we currently have and the technology that we're developing for not only agriculture, but, you know, just regular life. Because,
certainly,
obviously, drones, they were first used for the military, right? They were first invented, you know, first one was like back in 1937 or something. They were radio drones, they were used for military, and they became more available for public use around 2006. And with that availability came a whole lease of not necessarily problems, but new situations to look at, such as privacy laws, airspace, who owns the air above a property owner's land, things like that. But also coming with the drones is a whole bunch of new applications that they can be used for, and such as in agriculture. And what I think is really interesting is that y'all have developed an app to work with your drones to identify certain pesticides and, you know, crops with your land and see what the problems are. So I guess my first question getting really into this would be, can you tell us a bit about the drones and the capabilities for agriculture?
Certainly, yeah. I've been here, I've been through two growing seasons here at Taranis, and my first year here, we implemented going to a DJI drone, and we selected the M300 with the H20 camera. It provided the most flexibility, and the zoom capabilities of the camera allow us to do the flying within our profile to quickly, you know, scout a field. We can do about 100 acres in about 40 minutes, and it allows us to, you know, meet the expectations of putting a drone over a field. We have a flight planning software that we activate the drone over the field, and it flies this preset flight plan, and it images the field, you know, dependent upon what the settings are. But normally it's, you know, 1 to 1.5 images per acre in different zooms to capture what we're on the profile that we're flying to present to the clients, to our clients. And whether that be a stand count on the first flight or varying numbers of threat flights zoomed into leaf level zoom, to capture any deficiencies in the crop, you know, whether it's bugs or, you know, insects, you know,
yeah,
other damages, fungus, things like that.
Yeah. I actually talked a bit with one of your guys at Taranis at the NAFB convention over in Kansas City here about almost a month ago now. And he showed me some pictures. It was really cool to be able to keep that resolution to zoom that far in. And,
yeah,
you can see the mites or disease or whatever the plant has just on the leaf, and that's from a drone flying up in the air. It's pretty crazy.
It's really neat. It's really neat to be part of this industry, you know, in the ag industry. And, you know, one of the neat things we did this season, at a special request to one of our clients, we noted a problem, very nasty fungus on a field, and then the client asked us to fly a bunch of, very quickly fly a number of other fields that we were able to respond to see how prolific this fungus was across a larger area. And because once it starts to go, I guess it gets rampant. I'm not an agronomist myself. I'm just a pilot. Everything I learned about agronomy, I learned here. And but it was neat to see, and they could capture, we captured a broad enough area to show how far this fungus had spread across many neighboring fields and many neighboring farms. And they were able to take the action to save the crop. It was really neat this past season. It was really neat to see that.
Yeah. So that information that is captured, how's that necessarily stored? Because that's got to be a lot of data. So does the drone, whenever it's flying over, is it constantly recording, or does it only record once it sees potential problems in the field?
No, we have a Toronto has developed a software flight planning program, and we put in the field information goes in for the pilot. When the pilot knows this field is scheduled to fly on a certain day, then he will develop a flight plan to fly fields, you know, and he goes out and it has the parameters of capturing the correct number of images across the entire field. It's all stored on the drone. And then after the field, and it's actually a number of fields, it'd be flying, you know, 10 to 12 fields a day, maybe a little bit more. At the end, then we have in that software, he just takes the SD card out of the drone, puts it into the computer, and then it uploads to a cloud, to a Taranis cloud. And then my agriculture team then takes all the images and then they tag them with what they see on the field, depending upon what the profile of the flight was.
Okay. So the drone takes the pictures and stuff, but it's actually the team that goes around and labels and addresses what's going on in the field?
Correct. That's today. Today we have a future development that we're trying to do. That we're going to be working on this coming season, the 2023 growing season. And that will be once the drone takes the image of the area where it's supposed to stop and takes the picture. It will run an algorithm, a calculation right on the drone, and it will determine if it sees something then. And then as it's flying to its next waypoint, if it sees that, it will alert the pilot and say, we need to go back and take some more pictures around this area. But we started it last year. It's pretty interesting technology, what they're coming up with, what my R&D team is working on. This year, we've got it to a point now where this year we can go out and test it, but we can't provide it yet. We're doing it in-house right now.
Yeah.
Here in Indiana, and we'll play with it this season and see if it's something we can do probably for 2024.
Well, that sounds really interesting. That'll be very cool. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. So going on, how will this, not just the obvious applications, but how do you feel that this benefits the clients and the farmers who do decide to go this route as far as drones? Because we're based here in Kansas. So I know not just in Kansas, but also in Oklahoma, and I'm sure all around the rest of the United States, there are crop consultants who walk out into the field, identify problems, and then they provide suggested solutions and ways to fight the problems that they find out there. How is this kind of different from that?
Well, we do work hand in hand with. We don't. Our services aren't specifically sold to a grower, to a farmer. We sell our services to a retailer or an advisor. So what it allows us to do is, you know, and depending upon certain, you know, certain clients, you know, to go out and really look specifically and walk a 100-acre field takes time. And what the drone does with our, you know, what the drone and our software does with the pilot is that we can go out and fly 1,000 acres easily in one day, mm-hmm. and fly an entire field and then deliver that information to our client within approximately 24 hours, maybe a couple hours longer, so that they get it very quickly. And then they can see the entire field without having to go out and walk the field. And then potentially with the advisor and or the grower, when they notice there's something in one portion of the field, they can go out just to that portion of the field because the rest of the field will be fine. They can maybe spot look at something, but they don't have to try to robustly find it. We find the problem for them and then see how pervasive it is across the entire field and allows them to target what they really need to do. They don't need to buy, you know, 100 acres of herbicide when they only need 5, you know, and those things. So it allows to do things faster, smarter, more economical and increase the yield for the grower and increase the margins for the retailer.
Yeah.
And buy better.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the drone pilot training program. What benefits does that provide for these pilots who sign up, and what are they kind of looking at as far as training?
Well, what we've done is try to find an alternate mean. Taranis itself doesn't hire pilots. I don't have 100 pilots that work for me. I have a few pilots that work for me. What we do is we try to go out and find motivated pilots, give them a place to come into. Say they're very young commercial pilots. It's very hard to break into a business or a business model unless you have some experience. And what we provide is a means of flying a very robust drone with a very significant technological advantage, bringing young pilots or experienced pilots into a capability that is profitable for them. They can make good money. They can get a lot of experience, learn a lot about drones and drone technology through our online school. And then after they're done with the online school, we do in-person training with them to do very hands-on. We're developing your skills as a pilot, as a drone pilot. And then you can wear that moniker. You can put that certificate on your social media profile to show that you've been through a fairly robust training with Taranis. It's not the most technical. If you know drone pilots that fly like wind turbines and have to go right up next to the blades of the turbine to take images because they're tall and they're big, and that takes a lot of skills. So what we're doing is we're getting in on the mid-level, pilot who's new, who's motivated, wants to do well, and help them develop those skills of how to control the drone and provide them the opportunity to get into the commercial side of flying.
Okay. And whenever we're talking about mid-level pilots for drones in some cases, some people may not really understand. So whenever we're talking about mid-level pilots, are we speaking for drone pilots? Are we talking airliner pilots or like a commercial pilots or something like that? Is there a certain qualification you need to meet in order to apply for this training program?
No, there's not. And when I say mid-level, mid-level I'm using as this is not recreation flying. It's a step above that. It's the mid-level. You may still be young. You're just motivated to learn and you want to get into a business model that you can exploit your skills. We do have applicants who have come to the Taranis Academy landing page who've signed up. And if they don't have a Part 107 license from the FAA, we can assist in offering them the schooling and education to take the FAA test, become licensed, and then provide them training as to how to fly the drone. And then if all is going well and they're still interested, we can point them in the direction of a service provider that can hire them and assign them acreage to go fly.
Just so we can get a mental image, can you give us a rough estimate of the size of these drones?
It's about, say 3.5 to 4 feet, kind of in a square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a robust drone. The entire kit it comes in three boxes. The drone's in one box, and then it's two sets of batteries, two cases of batteries, and so you need to have some reliable transportation with a little bit of room. A little two seater car is probably not going to work unless you got a nice sized trunk. Because we try to put out every day for the pilots, they're going to fly about 750 acres a day, and it's going to take most of the batteries that we provide. It gives them a couple extra sets as a backup in case they have to return for weather and then they can't get back out until later, that kind of thing.
All right. that's a pretty good insight on the drone technology as well as the training program. You know, so as we kind of wind down here on our Ag Issues program on 580 WIBW, is there anything we may have not necessarily skimmed over, but maybe not have brought to attention that you want to talk about?
I think we covered it really well. It's a new emerging capability to provide. You know, we're trying to get into the communities with the pilots. So the pilots live right there where growers need their assistance to help them make decisions quickly on fields. And that's kind of the target that we're shooting for, is to find those motivated pilots who want to have a very good summer job. We're not year round yet. Someday, hopefully, we'll get there when we have more offerings that we can provide for year round services. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're only looking for this next season would be summer jobs. With good pay. You know the people. You take pride in what you're doing and what you're delivering. This is a business. We are providing a service to our clients who expect the timing and results, and that's what we've done well. And I'm happy to say we're growing, and that's what we're trying to get to. It's really neat. It's a lot of fun. I love what I do now. I always love flying. It's very neat to be in Taranis with this wonderful group of people that I work with and seeing what they deliver.
Well, John, I want to thank you very much for coming on our show today.
Well, thank you, Slade. I appreciate being here.
I appreciate talking with you. This type of stuff is really interesting, and I'm excited to see what the future holds in store for technology as a whole, especially for ag.
Yeah, me too. I love watching this grow.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for coming on, and we will talk to you later. That has been John Carl with Taranis, and we just got done talking about drones and their capabilities in ag, and also the pilot programs and training structure that they may have. This has been 580 WIBW, the Ag Issues Program. My name is Slade Wiley. We will get right back to you after this.